Okay, good morning. I didn't think my topic was that funny, but we'll see. This week's share is entitled "The Vilna Gaon's Position on Wearing Tefillin All Day." And as somebody joked with me this morning, he said he planned to come into share this morning wearing his tallis and tefillin, but he decided he shouldn't make latsanis out of such dvarim shebekdusha. So he put it off, took it off. He's proudly drinking his coffee, eating his donut as we speak. Maybe we'll get to, can you eat donuts and drink coffee while you're wearing tefillin? But you know, in the world today, if you look around, very, very rarely do you find a person who is wearing tefillin outside of chakras in the morning. Very rarely do you see such an individual. Sometimes you see people that woke up late, they put their tefillin on later in the day, which is a good thing. As long as you put on tefillin during the day, you know, you have that day as a day that you put on tefillin. Obviously, the best time is to do it during davening. We'll see, Mishabura talks about if a person davens Kriya Shema without tefillin, it's like you're testifying, talk about court, it's like you're testifying false witness. You know, tefillin talks about, the parsha of tefillin is inside Shema. So you're reciting Shema and you don't have your tefillin on, that's some indictment. And we know the Sfardim have a minhag to put tefillin on by mincha, by a fast day. But in general, you don't see people wearing tefillin throughout the day. And we'll talk, you know, there are some individuals I've seen in my lifetime that wore tefillin all day. Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, who is famous for his diptych and wearing tzitzis. Right? Multiple layers of tzitzis. You know, they joked, right? He looked like a linebacker. He's really a very thin person. But he just had layers upon layers, and we've touched upon this. You could see our share on Rav Scheinberg. But what was underrated about Rav Scheinberg was he was also very medakdik in wearing tefillin. So much so, you could find many pictures of Rav Scheinberg throughout the day wearing tefillin. Even in the presence of other gedolim who did not wear tefillin, he still wore his tefillin. He stood out different than everybody else. This is also something that Rav Scheinberg did later in life. For the most part, from the pictures that I found in the American years before he went to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't wear tefillin. But I found a picture in the summer. He was upstate in a bungalow, relative seclusion. There, it was clear he was wearing tefillin, you know, during the day, I believe. No. He would wear tefillin, just tefillin. Right, good point. He was always wearing, like, layers of talisim, you know, tzitzis. But no, he would wear tefillin without a talis on. Just tefillin. I remember this myself. I was by a chasna. I actually had a very important job. My wife's grandfather, Rabbi Neumann Zatzal, sent me with Shilas to ask Rav Scheinberg at that wedding. Rav Scheinberg came to the wedding, to the badeking, to the early part of the wedding, wearing tefillin. It wasn't so obvious because he had a shel rosh under his hat, I believe. Wow. And he had his shel yad was in the sleeve of his jacket. It was in the sleeve of his jacket, so you couldn't see. But if you paid close attention to the palm of his hand, you saw tefillin wrapped around there. I remember that. At the same time, I think Rav Scheinberg made sure to take those off before the chasen. I believe it was the Masada Kedushin of that wedding. So before the chuppah, which was going to take place after Shkia, then he took it off. But for the badeking, for the early part of the wedding, Rav Scheinberg was wearing his tefillin. I found pictures of Rav Scheinberg wearing tefillin in an Israeli snowstorm. Rain or shine, snow. Wow. Rav Scheinberg, you know, he wasn't walking the streets. He had a ride, but he has tefillin on all day. I found quoted Rav Avigdor Nevensol Shlita, the Rav of the Old City, is somebody that wears his tefillin all day. And you have these like random, you know, you think you, in these nooks and crannies throughout Eretz Yisrael, you walk into a store and you see the shopkeeper sitting there with his tefillin on. There are, once in a while, you find such individuals, people that do wear the tefillin all day. And what I would like to go through today is the background, the basis of this, and really the Vilna Gaon's position on wearing tefillin. Now, I don't know that we're going to all emerge from this wearing tefillin all day, but perhaps at least the time that we have wearing tefillin, we might appreciate even more. So the first thing I'd like to do is the Shulchan Aruch. This is found, Aruch Chaim, Siman Lamed Zayin, Zman Hanachas Tefillin. And Sif Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Gadol Schar Mitzvah Tefillin. It's a tremendous reward for people who put on tefillin. V'chol mi she'eino manicho. The Mechaber tells you the other side of the story. If someone does not put it on, hu b'chlau, he is included in Poshe Yisrael b'gufo. Jewish people who are careless with their bodies. And I didn't put this on the sheet, but the Mishnah Berurah elaborates, what's the great schar for wearing tefillin? First of all, long life, ma'arichin yamin ba'olam hazeh. U'muvtachim shu ben olam haba, you're guaranteed to get into Gan Eden, so get in free card. Vein eishol gehenim sholipol, the fire of Gehenna doesn't rule over him. V'chol nosav nimchom lo, and your sins could be wiped clean by it. Now, and I know your question. How, if you do like a big aver, which it says, like there's no kapara for it, and then you get like another card, which says your averos are wiped out, you know, how do those cards, you know, how do multiple mitzvahs play out? I haven't heard many good answers to these questions. You know, we don't know the exact accounting. It's more complicated than the IRS tax code, or schar of olam haba. But I take each one at face value. You know, Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim writes, you get big schar. It all plays a role. It, could there be other things we have on the other side of the scales? Yeah. But these are all major, major things.
My question is, don't all Jews have a share in the world?
Yes, yes, that's a simple idea. Yes, I'm going to get to that in a second. You're right. We do write in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, a little brisa, Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelek Olam Haba. But as you know, right, you could get a share and a share, right? You have a little part, a little piece. Exactly, the nosebleeds. So, Lamaisa, you do find, and this Chabad deserves a lot of credit, is there's a lot of outreach done in the general Jewish world to ensure that Jewish people put on tefillin. And it's a wonderful thing, because you know, the idea of a person putting on tefillin, obviously the best thing is to be makar of the person, that it shouldn't just be a one-time thing when he passes a street corner in Manhattan and there are people, a tefillin booth to put on. It should be something more encouraging. You know, the guy shouldn't get, you know, in his mind, okay, I did it once. There's stories, I remember hearing a story of Shmuel Birnbaum, Zatzal, the Rashiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. Was once flying an Israel flight to Israel, and somehow he was not a big conversationist. He sat and learned all day on the plane. He would walk up and down the flight to see if he could find the Talmud Chacham to spar and learning with. I once heard a story how he was once on a flight, and he walked up and down. He flew at a weird time during the year. There weren't yeshiva bachrim, there weren't, talmid chachamim on the plane, and he came back to America so frustrated. I was on the whole flight for 12 hours and there's no one to talk to. That's what bothered him about a flight. It wasn't the service, falling altitude, the bumpiness. It was, is there someone to talk to and learning? But on one Israel Air flight, story was that somehow Rav Shmuel got into a conversation with the male steward on the plane and asked him if he put on tefillin, and he said no. And Rav Shmuel took out his talis and tefillin and put tefillin on that secular Israeli steward. That's a wonderful thing, because at least for that day, he's not Poshe Yisrael Begufo. One of my Talmidim told me he was did a little bit of a road trip on the way back before Pesach, after Pesach, and they were by Virginia, and there's big naval bases over there. So they stayed in the hotel. At the hotel, they ran into a guy who's an American soldier working in the Navy. Due to COVID, they basically had guidelines that when you came back from overseas, they put you up in a hotel for 2 weeks, because of COVID issues. So they ran into this guy in the hotel, schmoozing with him. The guy was Jewish. So a bunch of yeshiva bachrim, schmoozing the guy this. So they asked, when was the last time you put on tefillin? Right, so he knew of it from his bar mitzvah. I think he put it on once. So these guys like hocked him. Hey, you want to put on tefillin? Want to put on tefillin? Shmalka, first year guy in the base medrash. And after a couple days of convincing, the guy was stuck there for 2 weeks. He decided to go for the guys, and he put on tefillin. They even took a picture with him in the tefillin. He just said, just don't let the picture go out because I'm supposed to be in quarantine. But really, it's a wonderful thing if one could get a Jew who does not put on tefillin to put on tefillin. It's a big, big, important mitzvah. And it's not just for secular Jews. Unfortunately, there are what we might have thought practicing Jews, which aren't so practicing. And it's a type of thing to encourage to the best of ability for someone to put on tefillin. It's a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah. That's the basics. Sif Bey, is the Mechaber writes the following. Mitzvahs and Leos and the love Kol Yom. It's a mitzvah for tefillin to be on a person the entire day. But because a person needs to have a clean body, shouldn't pass gas with them. And a second factor is your focus. You shouldn't lose sight from the fact that you have, something weighing down your chuk or the lack thereof. Right? You have the tefillin on your head. And these two areas, the gufnaki and a focus, not everybody could be careful about. Therefore, in the times of the Mechaber, of the Beis Yosef, Nagu Shlo Nichem Kol Yom, the minhag already began that we do not wear tefillin all day. Mekol Makom, Tzarko Adam Lizar Behem, but at least during Kriya Shema and Tefillah, it's interesting, right? He doesn't necessarily even talk about Pesukei Zimra. Those who sometimes daven at early minyanim, the shtick, the way to do it, is you first daven Pesukei Zimra, finish the bracha by Yishtabach, and then, if it's too early, it's before Mishiyakir, then you put on your tefillin before Berachas Kriya Shema. The main time to have your tefillin on is Berachas Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei. Obviously, you go through the halacha, it's best to keep them on to the end of davening. But if one is stuck, the main point in time is Kriya Shema and tefillah. But you already see from this mechaber that the minhag began that Neskatnu Adoros, the generations got weaker, weaker physically, weaker mentally, and physically people's bodies couldn't control themselves, having a gufnaki the whole day. People's bodies, people's minds weren't able to focus so much on tefillin. So already in the times of the Beis Yosef, they said, you know what? People should just wear tefillin during Shachris, Adka. Now, what this, if originally the mitzvah was intended for people to wear tefillin all day, is that like the main mitzvah? Or is the main mitzvah just during Kriya Shema and Tefillah? If you look in the Bir Halacha, which I have on top of your page, the Chafetz Chaim writes, Ayin b'prima gadim, shemistapik, imin ha-Torah chayiv kol yom, is the Doraisa, k'shartim os ayotcha, that you're supposed to wear tefillin, is that min ha-Torah the entire day? O min ha-Torah dai b'rega echa sheminyach. Or min ha-Torah, really, it's just one moment you put it on. Right? For a person who puts on tefillin after davening, really, me'ikar adin, there's no amount of time you have to wear tefillin. Right? The lashon the Chafetz Chaim here uses, dai berega echa sheminyach. Even 1 minute putting on tefillin, that's good enough. There's a minhagim, a guy puts on later, maybe to say Kriya Shema, do other things. But really, just one moment putting on tefillin, that's a mitzvah. Right, you see by these tefillin booths, people not wearing tefillin for so long. Right, hopefully their whatever tefillos they say with their tefillin takes longer than their selfie with it. But midrabbanan kol hayom, midrabbanan only the whole day. So what's at stake? Is it a mitzvah to say d'oraisa to have it the whole day? Or no, do we look at it, the raisa is just one moment? The whole day is an extra drabanan. So the Chafetz Chaim comes out, quoting a Sefer Yeshua's Yaakov, Pasak de min ha-Torah mitzvasim kol hayom, ayin sham. He quotes Yeshua's Yaakov that, he quoted someone else before also, from the Priba Gadim even seems like he's coming out like that, that midoraisa, the mitzvah, is the whole day. So imagine that, right? If we were living in a perfect world, we could be doing a mitzvah se doraisa every moment of the day, but we don't. So the starting point, you see from this Bir Halacha, is tefillin, yeah, tefillin would be a mitzvah se doraisa the entire day. But Machaber's telling us that nowadays our bodies are not up to it, our minds are not up to it. We just do a little bit. But you already get a sense, wow, if somehow we could figure out a way around this and to tap into this big mitzvah that we get, great. Matov manoyim. So that's where the gra comes in. Now, this piece, which I'm going to quote to you of the gra, comes from a sefer Maisa Rav of the Gra. Very interesting. Talmidim of the Gra knew how great the Vilna Gaon was. Right? The Vilna Gaon, we know, lived from 1720 to 1792. And he was somebody that revolutionized the Jewish world. He was considered like a throwback to earlier generations. You know, there's some talk that the Vilna Gaon was considered, you know, on the level of a Rishon. That's how far the praise for him goes. He was somebody that learned kemat the entire day, had three short intervals of resting. He ate like nothing. And the Vilna Gaon was known for just absolute mastery of Torah. And we have his Perushim on Shulchan Aruch. But really, there's a lot over the years, Biurim, all over Shas, the Vilna Gaon's Pshatim they have on Chumash. Tremendous, tremendous, you know, the Vilna Gaon. And a lot of the Armasura and Torah really stems back then. He was considered, you know, in a practical sense, Maimon Har Sinai was the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon very much pushed the concept of people wearing tefillin all day. As long as they could control their body to be a gufnaki, right? Live and learn, right? People are nowadays, you know, people try to be in tip-top shape, right? Health is a big deal, so okay. Let's say a person got himself in good shape and was able to master that he has a gufnaki, right? Lavdafka, it's based on cardiovascular working out. Josh is laughing. But whatever it is, I'm not sure of the secret myself. But let's say, you know, he was able to have a gufnaki, and in terms of his mind, of not being mesiach das, let's say he's also on top of that. Now you can tell me, Rabbi, I'm a busy man. You know, I go to shul in the morning. You know, maybe I learn a little bit after davening. But the rest of the day, I'm busy at work. So Vilna Gaon says, don't worry. I'm talking to you. The Vilna Gaon says, and that's really based on the Mishnah Berurah that I put on the sheets. The Mishnah Berurah talks about even potentially sleeping with tefillin. And he writes, V'lo chashiv hesach hadas. This is on the left column. The Mishnah Berurah, Simin Mem Dalad, Sifkot and Gimel. It's not considered losing focus. El kashu omi b'schok v'kalos rosh. If you're watching a comedy, which taka could happen after chazaras hashatz, after davish mon esrei, if a person has a smartphone on in the shul. But you have to be hesach hadas with tefillin is schok and kalos rosh, right? Avol kashu osik b'malach tov umnasa. A person's involved in his business. It's just that his focus isn't on this film. He says, you know, unless you're so involved in your business that you forget about all your shemayim. A person's sleeping. He's not focused on this world. So if a person's mind, he's working. He's working, but he's a Yari Shemayim. He's not, I'm not sure this exact level, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying exactly, but person technically, there were stories of, you know, you have some Sephardish shoemaker who wore tefillin all day while he's making shoes. It's not a stira, because he understands, I'm doing my job, I'm fixing shoes for my parnasa. It doesn't take away my Yari Shemayim. You don't need to be thinking tefillin, tefillin, tefillin. It's just no kalos rosh. He's not joking around. He understands the gravity that he has tefillin on him. That person could literally do work with his tefillin on. That's what the gra is pushing. Okay, now don't end the share here. Okay? The last thing I need is, you know, people, obviously not the audience here, but you never know who listens online. If some weird fella who's like, I heard on the shir from this rabbi care that, you know, you're going to come, you show up at the office wearing tefillin and, you know, you're working in a nice Jewish firm and there's lots of people there. Rabbi Kier said I should wear my tefillin during work. Like, who?
Who's Kier?
Yeah, I don't care. I've got it my whole life. No, you shouldn't. Right, okay. You shouldn't fall asleep in davening, but that's a different story.
Okay, people do that.
Yes. But the Chavetz Chaim is talking in theory, for sure, let's talk about business. During business, a person, it's not a steer, a person could have the phone on. That's what the Gra, this type of idea, the Gra himself, ahead of the Mishnah Berurah, said, hey, you know what? People could wear the phone while they're working. Then the Gra gets into a second issue. Now, let me stop here for a second and go off on a point. So the Gra says, if the only problem why we're not wearing tefillin nowadays, the Mechaber says, is this gufnaki and the hesach hadas, the focus. So the Gra says, look, if we get around these, there's no problem with hesach hadas, and you could do it all day. They quote that the Gra viewed that this is one of his missions in life. there's a sefer, the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos. The author of that sefer, the Baal HaSmag, felt that people weren't careful about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and it seems he basically traveled around the ancient Jewish world pushing that, hey, Jews should be careful about tzitzis. Right? The Chafetz Chaim realized in more modern times that Jews weren't careful of the Shmiras HaLashon. He basically traveled the European, Russian, Jewish world, selling his sefer, pushing the idea of Shmiras HaLashon. In between that, the Gra started this push that people should wear tefillin. And he said, this is a quote from his Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's on the bottom left side of the page. Kach ilu hayu b'kol chosov. Gra said about himself, if I had the strength, I would travel the world, a very nice poetic pun, to return the crown to its early greatness, the crown of the tefillin to its greatness, to what the halacha is. And he says, you know, hesachadas, okay, you have to be careful not to sleep, maskim. Relatively easy mitzvah to do, just have it on your body. In every moment, the Gra understands every moment you wear tefillin, you get 8 mitzvahs. Quotes Gemara Menachos, that there's 8 mitzvahs you get every minute you put on tefillin. So thus the Gra was very into, we have a mitzvah here, this is a way to get Jews more zchusim, more schar. Okay, you have to train yourself to have a guf naki, to be able to focus. But once you get past that, you have a every minute you have your tefillin on, you get a mitzvah. Just digressing for a moment, he was talking about the smog pushing tzitzis. So let's also realize that every minute we have tzitzis on, we get a mitzvah. And, you know, sometimes people, when they go lie down for a nap, they'll take off their tzitzis. You know, it happens to be their interesting shilas. If you take it off, do you have to make a new bracha? It's also a share. But one of my rebbeim would always say, you take a nap, keep your tzitzis on. You know why? Protection, true. Tzitzis is tremendous protection. It actually did a wonderful thing. It's already going back a few years ago in Israel, that they would buy pairs of tzitzis for Israeli soldiers. And, you know, and a soldier who's getting out there in Gaza on the front lines, you know, he's ready to whatever extra protection he could get. They actually got camouflaged, you know, green begadim tzitzis for soldiers to wear. Soldiers who never put on tzitzis before. It's the ultimate protection. But another factor is you get a mitzvah. You're sleeping in the middle of the day wearing tzitzis while you sleep, cha-ching, ching, right? You get mitzvos. So why not? Huh? So night's a whole different parsha, pun intended on that too. It talks about during the day wearing tzitzis. But there are individuals that do that. That's also a different share, and don't ever quote me on that one. No. Normal people don't wear tzitzis at night. But definitely during the day to appreciate every minute it's a mitzvah, and that's where the girl's saying, okay, every minute I wear tefillin, it's a mitzvah. But the girl himself deals with a problem. What a, yes. Ooh. Mr. Kaplan just asked, what about the concept of mitzvahs trichos kavana? So that also is its own topic, which it does and it doesn't. We paskin mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana. So that means as long as you put it on, you're good. Yeah, yeah. As long as you put it on, you don't need, since this is much easier than tefillin. Tefillin has a higher level of kedusha. If the bottoms have the shem Hashem and all that. So that's something which might need, hesach hadas is an issue. But But tzitzis is the easiest mitzvah, just on your body, four corner bagged. Right. Correct. Yerachmiel's pointing out that, you know, it sounds like the main issue with tefillin isn't so much the positive kavana, just the lack of the negative. You're not joking around. It's not, you know, levity, right? You're allowed to smile. You're allowed to, you know, brighten someone's day. But, you know, tzchok, v'kalos rosh, whatever that level is. Yes, so I'm about to get to one of the cons. Right, so here we go. The moments you're waiting for, no. The reason not to wear tefillin all day. So the Gra himself brings up the concept of yuhura. Yuhura is a nice, fancy word. Practical sense, we call it gaiva. Is there are certain religious things, if you look too religious, too from, you might say, you know, I'm special, I'm this. And in general, arrogance. In general, the halacha looks down at a person doing something, even halachic, if it's an area which you could get gaiva from. Really, many areas of what you call, quote unquote, chumras in halacha are very ripe for yuhura. Oh, you eat from that, huh? Oh, I don't trust that hashgacha. Right? Everyone else does. Yeah. My people, you know, we don't do such things. Right? That's, you know, a person's, you know, there are areas in halacha which are, there's room to be machmer, but it's a type of thing you hold close to your vest. You're not supposed to show off, you know, what chumras you take. Right? Even like, you know, there are stories of great gedolim that went to tremendous lengths to hide the chumras they're doing. So people shouldn't say, ooh, you know. No, yuhura is something, arrogance is something which is very real, and Judaism has lots of ways to pick it up. And the halacha looks down upon doing an action which would be viewed so different than everybody else. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon says, and you're going to say, okay, no one's doing this. Right? The Gra, I assume, wanted to make somewhat of a revolution and for people to wear tefillin. Right? In fact, if you look at a lot of the pictures of the Vilna Gaon, you'll find clearly him wearing tefillin. Yeah. A lot of the pictures. Art School biography, cover page. Right? A lot of the pictures, which is the same cover as another biography. But a lot of pictures of the Gra, most of the pictures, are with him wearing tefillin, because that was something he did. He wore tefillin all day. And he wanted to start a revolution. His students would wear tefillin. But it was the type of thing that he had to address. So what about Yehura? What about Gaiva? So the Gra writes very interestingly. It was really written by Chaim Volozh in his Talmud. That he says, Shabizmana ze lo shaykh yuhura. Nowadays, you don't have to worry about gaiva. The adirabah, just the opposite. Ring from the bottom of your sheets. Nachon the farsam. It's proper to publicize this. Kamisha wrote the lifosh min olam, yitzabur chovos, she wrote the lifosh litzadak. Someone who wants to be a nistar, scream from the rafters. This man's a tzaddik. Whoa. And we know there's a concept, they quote here from the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, of Hirsch Levinson, that we know in every generation there's 36 hidden tzaddikim. And you know what? Really, those 36 hidden tzaddikim should reveal themselves. So our generation could get chizuk. What the Gra seems to be saying is a concept, a pretty major concept, that granted in earlier generations, there are elements of arrogance and try to keep exalted levels of diktuk in mitzvos quiet. But nowadays, since we're so weak, it's just the opposite. We should publicize it. We should do it. Because it'll give chizuk to others. Just as an aside, I'm thinking about Hasidim. I once had the schus to the square Rebbe once came to Queens when I was in Kolo. And I decided to start up a little bit with the Hasidim over there. I brought a raya from that week's parsha that things which are done in a very open, you know, way are subject to ayin hara. So I asked, how is it when the Rebbe does everything, they make such a big pompous parade, literally. They paraded through the neighborhood. They have, you know, their bleachers, their whole, you know, everyone watching the Rebbe do a mitzvah. I said, isn't that against basic concept of tznius? Isn't that against, isn't that something that's subject to ayin hara? So it seems I stumped most of them, and they sent me to the Rosh Kollel with my question. And he had a good answer for me. He said, you're right. It is something we have to be nervous of ayin hara and tznius and this. He says, but eis lasos l'Hashem if yiru sorasecha. At a certain times, Yiddishkeit is weak. And Hasidim view that we have to do things in public to spread and be mechazik Yiddishkeit. That's their tradition. I accepted it. Very interesting answer. Okay? The Litzvisher world doesn't necessarily hold by that. But, you know, it's potential, but the Gra is a similar idea. Is you're worried of Yehura, of arrogance, that you're the guy wearing tefillin all day? Pumfakert. Let's spread the message. We need chizuk. And if a person sees someone wearing tefillin all day, maybe that'll be mechazik, a person that he puts on tefillin once a day. Yerachmiel, that's an excellent point.
But they're all in the room. They choosing this person to galvanize behind. So
right.
And it's not him. It's not. I want you all to come to me.
Yeah, no. But the tzaddik is still davening in front of them. Like, they are doing things. You know, he could have shook his aluv and esrog inside his room. He's choosing to do it with people on the bleachers. I can imagine that. Josh, you imagine how nervous you'd be if you're sitting there lighting menorah and like thousands of people, Josh, are calling your name. Okay, they don't do cat calls in Hasidim. But you know, they're getting all revved up, they sing their songs, and then the Rebbe goes up there and makes a bracha. That's you know, Yiddishkeit is out there. But they view that, you need that as a chizuk. So you're right, it is a very interesting thing that here I found common ground between the Vilna Gaon and the Hasidim. But yeah, Baruch Hashem. Shalom al Yisrael. Yes. Oh. Very interesting point. Who's the we compadre? Right? What? Oh. Oh. You're right. Good. I thought you I was thinking something else. Right? You're right. Right? By Hanukkah, you're right, there is a mitzvah of Persume Nisa, which is unique, because we only have, I actually once gave a share in this, three areas of Persume Nisa. Hanukkah, Purim the Megillah, which is not on the streets, it's just within the shul, and actually Dal Kosa is also considered Persume Nisa, and that's inside your house. But the concept of Persume Nisa is not so much the spreading, but the giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the nace that we have. A very, you know, and it is, you know, it's something that we do put by our windows. B'shasa sakana, you know, if the VP's Jewish rep tells people nowadays, take off their yarmulkes, you know, if we were nervous, you know, obviously we don't hold by such proclamations, but if we were nervous of anti-Semitism, we would say, light your menorah by your table, not by the window. But at the same time, I thought you were going, you know, Chabad takes their menorah mobiles all around the town. Yeah, that's also a different story. But this concept that, you know, you're balancing, it's a very interesting hashkafa that comes up here in Halacha. How do you balance sort of this personal protection from arrogance. At the same time, to do a mitzvah, you know, davening, people, many people, it's time to daven. Do you daven in an airport? There are many things. People are a little, you know, there's a concept of tznius, that's just pure tznius. Then there's a higher level of, you're in a comfortable place, you're amongst other Jews, but you're doing something which is beyond what the average Jew does. Are you choshish for Yehura? Are you choshish for arrogance? So the Gra says nowadays we should do mitzvahs and don't be choshish and we should be mechazik others. And thus the Gra pushed that. At the same time, the Gra himself seems to hear another tzad, that maybe people will be afraid of doing things in public. Even after I say, nowadays, go the opposite way. So then he says the following conclusion. First of all, your shel yad, you could cover over. So that's no big deal. You could hide the fact that you're wearing tefillin. And the shel rosh, he gives two options. Option A, he says, you know what? Don't wear a shel rosh. Shel Yad and Shel Rosh are different mitzvahs. If you're afraid of Yehura, so don't put a tefillin Shel Rosh on. Just have your tefillin Shel Yad on. You get half the mitzvahs. But great. That's still worth much more than we have now. The Gra does say, oh, I'll give you a second Eitzah. Get a small Shel Yad, Shel Rosh. Be less detectable, maybe easier to put under your hat. What's very interesting, again, if you could, these pictures are drawn to scale. The pictures that I saw of the Vilna Gaon, paintings is probably the better word, the shel rosh that the Vilna Gaon had was small. So, and this you definitely find by some Sephardim, they have really small shel roshes. Right? Some okay, right? But
it's easier for it to stay in the right.
But that's the type of thing, especially if you have a big yarmulke, you could put it, you know, you could put it underneath, people don't know. So
it's harder to write the script correctly.
Correct, right. Right. You want to have a good
I met a lot of
Hasidic
actually have their
price
high up under
there. See, if you have a big yarmulke, you can fit a lot of things underneath. Pay is tefillin. Yes. Josh, one of my friends, he got like a big yarmulke. You know what he called it? A cholent bowl. I think one guy actually called it a cholent pot, but okay. So the Gra gives multiple eitzos for how a person could keep tefillin all day. Now the Chafetz Chaim in his Bir Halacha actually quotes this Gra. It's interesting, he leaves out the first part of the Gra. He doesn't say that nowadays you don't have to be worried about Yehura. He just quotes the second part of the Gra, the Eitzahs of either just doing a Shel Yad or a small Shel Rosh. That's what the Chafetz Chaim brings. So it sounds like the Chafetz Chaim himself picked and chose which part of the Gra we were accepting. You know, we are choshish for Yehura. But if you do it in a way, Rav Scheinberg, at times, you know, it was covered over. Don't necessarily see the whole thing. And the Chafetz Chaim writes something else also. This I didn't put on your sheets, but I found the Mishneh Berurah Sifkaton Zayin. He writes, the concept of not wearing tefillin all day is for the average person. Aval anshei maisa. I put those two words in quotes. Men of deeds, which does not sound like the average person. Nogim lumud achar atfilah b'tefillin. They have a minhag to learn after davening with tefillin. He doesn't say the whole day. To learn, after davening, you're having a learning seder anyway. So learn with your tefillin on. He only talks about this for anshei maisa. And then he puts in a clause. Ach yesh li zarish lo yidaber behem devarim betelim. You should be very careful not to speak words which are off track. Domavad iser devarim betelim. Besides an isser involved, who by the hesachadas, that itself could lead you to hesachadas. So the Chafetz Chaim is bringing this concept of wearing tefillin all, not just for davening, but he seems to cap it with, at least in the Mishnah Berurah, with two qualifications. Number one, it's only for Anshei Maisa, men of deeds. And number two, he only talks about it as far as just after davening. He doesn't talk about it the whole day. And this is something which I looked practically. I went through this Mishnah Berurah, Amudei Horah, the Psakim of the Sephardic Gedolim, and I found Rav Avad Yosef, Rav Ben-Zion Abishol, are against people wearing tefillin all day, practically nowadays. You might find some, as I said, shoemaker, some Sephardi shoemaker, you know, in Geula somewhere, wearing his tefillin all day. But in general, the Sephardic poskim speak out against it. You do have Rav Scheinberg and others who did wear it all day. I don't know, but I wonder if you asked Rav Scheinberg, would he encourage people to wear it all day? I don't know. I don't remember the details of the story, but I remember, you know, a lot of times people learn things new. They in yeshiva, you find guys who go through phases. I remember at one point, there was a phase, I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, and there were guys, maybe based on this Mishnah Berurah, that started wearing their tefillin for Mishnah Berurah Seder. Right after davening in yeshiva, we have a Mishnah Berurah Seder. So there were guys who didn't take off their tefillin. They kept it on for Mishnah Berurah Seder. That was only when I was in Eretz Yisrael. By the time I came to Queens, nobody did that. Not nobody. You know, there are certain things, Anshei Maisa, right? Chafetz Chaim writes, you have to be man of deeds. Who are you to say you're a man of a deed? Right? It's Madrega. I have to tell you this story. You know, you have to know time and place. The famous, one of the major Musa yeshivas in Europe was the Novartic yeshivas. Novartic was a yeshiva was known for a special brand of Musar, which was, maybe gives Musar the bad name, very self-defecating, very much into finding all the weaknesses of man and like pushing it. So a guy comes to the Novartic yeshiva and the first day goes to sit down to learn Musar Seder. I'm sure this was said in Yiddish, but I'll do it in English for dramatic effect. And he sits down and he says, I am a nothing. I am a nothing. Ich bin a gornisht. And some older guy in yeshiva looks at this young bacher and says, a chutzpah? The first day in yeshiva and you already think you're a nothing?
There's also a joke like that. with the rabbi, the president of the shul, and the shamans. Right before Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So they open the ark, and the rabbi says, I'm a gornish. The
gabbai.
The rabbi says, I'm a gornish. And the shaman says, I'm a gornish. And the two of them look at the shaman and say, look who thinks he's a gornish.
Lamaisa. So you have to know, is a person on the Madrega to wear tefillin even part of the day, even after davening. In general, what I was taught in yeshiva, it was frowned against. Even though there are major issues here, the Gra says major mitzvahs involved, but practically, that issue of Yehura, of Gaiva, is something which can be very self-destructive in a person. It's one of the most important aspects in Yiddishkeit is to be normal. Is to try to keep all the mitzvahs, to be very serious about your Yiddishkeit, but have a sense of humor at the same time. Smile. Wake up in the morning without feeling a pressure to be an angel. Wake up in the morning to be a normal person. And especially in the generation today, despite the fact that the Vilna Gaon's position on wearing tefillin is something that, you know, very much, it's a tremendous mitzvah, but it's the type of thing a person should ask their Rav, their Rebbe, what the right thing is to do. But what I was makabel for my Rebbeim is you have to be very careful with these things. And, you know, The last thing you need is for you to think that you're the next coming of Mashiach. I want to end with a story. I told this over in Share the other day, but you know the concept. You know, really, I think anytime you give a share on tefillin in general, it could be mechazik, the mitzvah, and tefillin needs chizik. Tefillin tzrich mechizik. You know, people are busy and they have a rough day, and they have you have a day they're not feeling well. Okay. If your body is sick and you can't put on tefillin. But I just heard a fascinating story of a case where it happened in Baltimore. Young married couple goes to shul for the first Shabbos after Shavuot Brachos. And at that time, the wife, wasn't busy. She wanted to come with her husband Friday night. They come to shul. She goes to the women's section, which no one else is there. And they came there a little early, and the women's section doubles as like a base medrash during the week. So there's sperm strewn all over. So this lady decides she's gonna go and clean up the area. So she starts packing up the sperm, putting them on tables. She finds a pair of tefillin lying on one of the tables. So she finds a spot on the shelf to put away the pair of tefillin. She comes back the next week. There are more sperm strewn on the tables. But she notices that pair of tefillin which she put randomly on the shelf, still in the exact spot. She comes back a third week, Erev Shabbos. More sperm are still there, but the tefillin are still in the same exact spot. She starts getting curious. She puts up a sign in the shul. She's new to the neighborhood. Anyone know anything about this? I found the pair of tefillin. Could be the person lost it. Contact me. And someone from the shul says, oh, that was a family that moved to Eretz Yisrael a couple years ago. A little strange. Moved to Eretz Yisrael a couple years ago. They left the tefillin there. They didn't realize. So she tracks down the number of this family, calls up, and she tells a story how she's come to shul, and she's found this pair of tefillin that seems to be lost. It's sitting there. And as she says this over, she hears in the other line this person, the mother she's speaking to, breaks down crying. She says, yeah, that's my son's pair of tefillin. Hasn't worn tefillin in a few years. Fortunately, a nice from family lived in Baltimore, moved off to Eretz Yisrael, but this son is what you call OTD, off the derech, and stopped putting on tefillin. Unfortunately, that's one of the big steps. Someone goes off, not davening, they don't even put on tefillin. That's why it's something. If you ever see a kid who's putting on tefillin in the middle of the day, Baruch Hashem, he's putting on tefillin. But then she composes herself. He says, but the fact you're calling me gives me so much chizuk. He says, my son just called recently. He had a tough relationship with his family and would only reach out a couple, maybe a few times a year when he needed something, he needed money. And just recently she got a phone call from him that he said he started going to some classes and he's starting to do things again. He called his mother to ask, do you know where my tefillin are? So this young wife, newlywed, that happened to get involved in the midst of Hashavas Aveda, was also involved in helping reunite this kid to his long-lost pair of tefillin. Next time, we should appreciate what it means to put on the pair of tefillin, what it means, to mechazik someone else to put on tefillin. And maybe practically, we're not going to get the mitzvah of wearing tefillin all day, but the mitzvah of b'mechazik others in their wearing of tefillin is the type of mitzvah which can last not just all day, but for all eternity. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. I hope I have a great week too.